morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough, are not working in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we listen to them, we interview them, we read what they have to say, and we report back to you and ourselves to see how we're doing. It's a place to put your feet up or down, relax, listen to us do the legwork, research, and reading. All articles, interviews, and show notes are now available at dadtimeoutshow.com after each show, and we're very interactive with our listeners, so if you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we'd be grateful. And especially if you can, follow us on Instagram, we are the most active. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little May-cember chatter. Then they'll move on to Parent Funny Tweets of the Week, all about relatable parent moments. And then on to Smart Articles by Smart People, which tonight pulls from a couple different sources, including a podcast Mark and I have recently been chatting about. But mainly we'll be discussing why achievement culture has become so toxic and the things we can do as parents to get back on the right track to show kids that they are so much more than their grade, sports, and extracurriculars. Helping kids see they matter for who they are and not what they achieve. And then to lighten things back up, the guys will take a quick quiz on the teen slang, perhaps learn a few new ones to navigate our daily conversations. And then finally, they'll wrap up with things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I have a wonderful friend in the backyard studios tonight. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
And Lola, did you bring out a traditional dad joke to kick off our show?
Yes.
And we could call it a kid joke, too. It doesn't always have to be dad. All right, but what's the joke?
Okay, so do you want to hear a really cheesy dad joke about pizza?
I would love to hear a really cheesy dad joke about pizza.
Never mind, it's too cheesy for you.
Never mind, it's too cheesy for me. Lola, did you give away the punchline in the telling of the joke?
Yeah.
All right, that's my girl. Coming back around the corner will be the guys and the start of the Dad Timeout Show. You won't want to miss this one.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here they are around
Hey-o.
The corner. Hey, guys.
Hi there. Hi. Oh,
the Johnny.
Welcome.
Hold on. Do you want a little?
Oh, soundboard right out of the gate.
No, you got a little laughter right out of the gate.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right. Well, welcome back. We are fresh off the heels of a concert that Mark and I attended together last night.
What? Yes. You guys were going?
Spring concert.
You went on a date?
Yeah, we kind of did. Let's go around the room real quick. We'll introduce ourselves. I'm MK.
Oh, I'm Chris.
I'm Nautica Chris.
I'm Mark. Nautica. This is Columbia.
Columbia.
Patagonia Mark.
Patagonia Mark. I am
BU.
Boston University hockey
nice,
tonight.
Nice.
You remember how Tim Allen, if you ever watched Show Home Improvement, used to always wear college sweatshirts and hoodies?
Yes.
And then it comes to find out that like they would send them to him at a certain point, and then people would get all excited when, like, you know, Michigan would be on. I've kind of become Tim Allen without Tim Allen's money or fame or prestige or shows or clout.
Are people sending
I told you this. I've always been addicted to college bookstores. I have to see them. I have to visit them. I actually want to start a TikTok that just rates college bookstores.
You should do that.
I just put it out there. Someone's going to beat me to it.
No. Go
That's
do
a
it now.
$1 billion idea.
You should go right now to like the closest ones. Knock them all out.
I could go
right
over
down the street.
Stanfordio.
I've been to about four or five recently, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's good.
I'll go with you. I'll be your camera guy.
So back to the concert.
Yeah, but what concert
for
this?
The ages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like a Taylor Swift.
Well, better than that. It was
the
school spring show.
Okay.
Boo? Boom.
Oh, boom. Okay, I thought he
boom.
Said boom.
Chris, come on.
No. Sorry, I thought
And MK's son was one of the MCs.
Oh,
and did
nice.
A bang-up job. I was quite...
Of course he did.
Okay. Come on. I wasn't surprised. However,
he's got the
his prowess is unmistakable.
He's got the MK jeans.
He was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was that part was my favorite part. He and his buddy were very cute together. That's all.
Nice. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, they were fun. But every grade does like three songs and they're very old timey. It's still like stuck in his zone. But it's very adorable and warm, and you're like, oh my gosh, this still happens out there.
It's a little bit above gramophone, but not quite 45s.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know that reference, but anyway.
Yeah, okay.
How's Maycember going?
What's that again?
How's Maycember going for you?
Maycember's all the stuff except with none of the Christmas fun.
Don't you remember our Maycember?
Yeah. That was a year ago.
It's December without the presents, the food.
And the fun.
Or the fun.
Right.
Lots it's just stuff. Three times the activity.
Yeah.
Right. Brutal.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's brutal. I'm looking forward to like June 10th.
I feel like the RPMs are just under the red line, but I feel like that's how it is all year round. So I don't really notice a noticeable bump up in May.
Like, there's I feel like things are very busy all year round, but I think Maycember amps it up, especially in my zone right now. I've got a graduation here, and they have all their events. We just got done a bankload of shows with the kids.
Mother's Day, kids' birthday.
Oh, then Mother's, you know, the normal stuff.
His birthdays, birthday.
Mark's birthday. Mark's happy birthday, Mark.
The annual kids' concert.
Oh Mark, what's that sound? Forgive me. I just hit the trombone.
Forgive
on,
you.
On your birthday. It says okay. Applause on okay. my thing.
That's okay. I am old now, so maybe he's more of a trombone.
Oh, I just gave you a Twilight Zone to make up for it.
There you go.
Good.
This guy is getting.
That's my favorite.
Anyway, we're in Maycember.
Where is Ben?
Oh, my gosh, Ben. Wait a minute. We're missing someone.
See that.
Where is he?
Latvia?
I don't know.
Croatia?
Sometimes he just gives us the teaser, and then I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like I need to deep dive into this. If you can't. Can't roll out, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, he might come bounding. He does bound.
Yes.
He might come bounding around the corner any minute.
I mean, could 6 foot 10.
Oh, my gosh. So. I thought that was him. But it's my daughter.
Oh, jeez, that scared me.
I was like, did you guys plan that on me?
Wow.
Ben, wherever you are, we hope you're having fun and you know we love you. All right, so a lot's going on. Maycember will be wrapping up soon. I'm wearing a new cologne tonight, so that's happening.
Ooh, what is it, Michael Jordan?
I can't talk about it right now, but I'm testing. No, it's not Jordan. Yeah.
Drakkar Noir.
Adidas.
Is it Carmelo Anthony's new fragrance?
No. He married a buddy of mine.
Can't talk about it, he said.
Okay, so
I can't talk about it. I've been testing all these little samplers with the kids.
What?
It's just a side fun thing we do.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so my one child had a bunch of shows last week, and every night I'd go to a show, I'd wear a different little sampler.
A different cologne.
Yeah, we had like a ratings thing, like when we had the pizza pandemic challenge.
How do I smell tonight? Yes.
Hey, can you smell me?
Usually just a little on the wrist.
How do I smell tonight?
All right.
Anyway, it's important to us Philly people.
Yeah, I think it is. Philly thing.
Sniffy, yeah. Sniffy.
Hey, you smell good.
Yeah.
So my baseball team's hot, yours or not. So that's happening. Actually, the A's are doing okay right now. My Phillies are hot. We've adopted the Red Sox in the AL squad.
Oh no.
You go to Fenway. Take a tour by like a 70-year-old ex-usher.
I'm teamless.
And your view will change the rest of your life.
I've been to Fenway, and yes, I agree. Fenway is amazing.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be a Sox fan if you're from the West Coast. Get the hell out of here.
I'm not an AL guy, so I can adopt a team. I'm an NL guy.
What? You can't adopt.
Let's go Oakland.
No, it's my secondary team. Now I scan the scoreboards.
You know, we're teamless, so let him do whatever he wants. Okay. I'm so sad.
Listen, we can all agree upon we all hate the Dodgers.
Yes.
All right, there we go. Let's move on.
So, move on. Such a mystery. New cologne. He's got colors dropping all kinds of stuff.
We don't know. We know about his college.
Listen, since I almost Since I had an episode, I've learned to take these small things for gratitude.
But share with us.
Well, I don't think the listeners
you
care.
You can tell us about the sauce later, Chris.
I want to thank some of our new followers. We somehow, our last episode, by the way, about men loneliness, there were a couple snarky comments, which weren't too bad. But
oh, yeah?
But we jumped in followers.
Yeah, see?
Boo, 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 boo. Yeah, so let's thank some of them. Greg P. Franco, G Trees 1980.
Thank you, G Trees.
I'm a Construction Enterprises, Barber Joel.
Yeah.
Our Alt Mountains, Adam 401, Country Music Dads. No, they've been following us.
Country Music Dad.
Jorge Sturg, Parenting Master, and a few others. But yeah, that episode was. A lot of people liked that one, so that was nice awesome. To see.
We were vulnerable on that one. We got vulnerable.
Do we get vulnerable?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. We got
didn't
real.
Like it or just bullies?
I'm lonely.
All right. Coming up next, tweets of the week.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's that time. We go to tweets of the week. They're really because we are in Maycember. It wasn't a lot of time to research. Wasn't a lot of time to put the crack team of researchers on this segment of the show. There was just, you know, there were four of them sitting around. And I'm like, guys, like, you don't have to do this today. It's Maycember.
You just always look up Simon C. Holland and you got it all.
You always got it.
Well, there's no Simon C. Holland.
Oh, he always comes through. Though.
So these are kind of all over the map. We'll start off with something that we talk about regularly, but it's kind of relatable. It's from It's Her Field. My mom said kids are on their screens too much, so I locked her outside until the streetlights turned on and told her if she's thirsty, she can drink from the hose. Oh,
man. There you go, Mom. For real.
That was in honor of Mother's Day, which is also in Maycember. Did you guys have a nice Mother's Day? Mark, stop. Two sentences.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies.
All right. Oh, okay. And one more bullet point.
Giving my wife a break.
Wow.
Okay. All right. He didn't go crazy.
He didn't go verbose on that one.
It's his favorite time of the year.
I kind of reeled it in.
You gave me two sentences, so that's what I gave you.
All right.
Homemade cookies. That's cute.
Okay.
We had a proper. We went to see Mama Mia.
Heck yeah.
Mama. Oh, Mama, I think the translation is. And then, but my... We had three generations of Kennedys and Violets all there. So
nice. What?
Yeah. So...
Ooh.
Grandma, daughter, and then grandchild.
That's awesome. On both sides of the family.
No, just on our side. We're out. This one's out west. Most okay. of the All chunk right. of my family's in Tennessee. How about Sweet. You, Chris?
What, for Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Two sentences? I forgot. Whoops. Disneyland saved the day.
Well, like, there you go.
We were there. Hey, Mother's Day. You know.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Do they celebrate it there?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they didn't say, like, Happy Mother's Day, but.
Well, they should have.
They yeah. should have.
I bought a flower after, you know.
They didn't give out roses at the gate?
No, they didn't do anything.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Disney's really good about that stuff.
Pluto. Mamma Mia gave out roses at the door. Yeah, and it was in a high school production.
I gave out roses, too.
Mark stood in his neighborhood and gave out roses.
I did.
He's like, honk sure he if did. You're a mother.
I did.
And then everybody
he runs down the hill.
3,482
giant driveway, you know.
It's a lot of flowers.
All right. This comes from 6 Foot Candy.
Ooh,
one minute you're young and carefree, and the next you're the person who says, "You go ahead. I'm just gonna sit for a minute."
Dude, that was me. Oh, that's pretty much my mantra now. Mm. You go ahead. I'm just gonna sit here. Just go do that. I'm gonna sit here.
Enjoy.
I like sitting. I like sitting here.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the best.
Wow. Yeah, I tried. Yeah,
I've done everything.
That's me.
They're like, "Hey, let's run down there." Yeah, go do that. I'll sit here. I'll watch.
Mike's food reducer, yeah.
Well, especially if they're shopping.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, you go ahead. I'll be right here in the mall recliner massager.
Oh, my gosh. If there's one of those, then, you know, you're pulling me out of there with, like, the Jaws of Life kind of thing.
But they're so good, right?
Massagers?
Yeah.
They're hiring a fire department.
Like, no, the janky ones that are in the malls.
Yeah, those.
Those, the massage chairs and feed on those.
Oh, gosh, it feels so
good. It's like $3 to be there for an hour.
Yeah, it's the best.
Then you get angry at the people that aren't actively using them and they're just using it to sit.
Oh, sit there? Oh, my gosh. Excuse me, ma'am.
I give them the side eye.
There are other people that have
plantar fasciitis.
Start tossing Auntie Annie's pretzels at him. all right, this one is from, well, it's all age tonight. Emily tweets, welcome to your 40s. Now you walk around your house, turning lights off, angrily mumbling, why are all these lights on? That's my wife. That's not me.
Oh, that's...
She is the utility police in our house.
That's my job.
You're the light turner offer?
Yeah.
We have to beg ours to turn air condition on. And then... She'll call it to cool off the house, and then she cools off the house, and we'll see. I'll watch her go deet, 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 and tap it right back down. Like, she gives us a psychological effect, like it's been on for a while, and then deet, deet, deet. It doesn't get too hot, but you know what I'm saying.
I work the morning fog and the evening fog, fans in the windows, close the windows. I work that system. We don't have air conditioning, so I don't have that to...
We live in California, fellas. You know what I mean?
It gets hot.
What?
It does. You live by the water, man.
Yeah, you live on an island.
5 minutes from each other.
Oh, the microclimates, my friend.
Okay, you guys live in this big tundra.
Okay.
Castro Valleys.
We'll have to
microclimate.
Just right now.
Okay. Boy, the fans like that one. All right, this is this is funny. To me, probably not to anybody else that listens, because it has to do with my wife's father, and now I find myself doing it. No one warned me that I would start sneezing loudly once I turned 40.
It's kind of like I feel like it's like a marking your territory or something. You know, just...
Wow.
So John, my kid's grandfather, my wife's father, sweetest guy ever. But my God, like, he would back up.
Yeah.
And then he'd, like, have Brace a build yourself. Up. Like,
yeah.
And you knew it was coming. And he'd be like,
he's doing, like, the cartoon wind up.
Yeah.
His feet are all.
Sure, maybe it's my internal trying to keep the tradition alive.
That's man. Awesome.
I think it's a great release.
It is, but
a
it's
a good
almost,
sneeze.
Mark, yeah. This is a G rated podcast.
Sneeze. It's a sneeze.
No, but you. I think if you can scare your kid, it's a very dad kind of thing to do, you know, like they're just sitting there quiet on their front. Watch out, you know, dad, you know, I love it.
Yeah. Plus, all right. Okay. So like the way our high school works, there's a little roundabout and I always have the windows down and I'm listening to stuff. And today there was a practice out. They call it the quad. And you're kind of in close proximity, but I had it's allergy season, so I definitely had one of those sneezes. And I watched like 7 or 8 of these kids whip their heads around.
It's all echoing through the quad. Choo, 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 choo.
Yeah, yeah. speaking of, well, okay, this has twofold meaning. It's from It's Her Field. My daughter told me I was embarrassing her, and I told her to stop being so cringe and bougie and just let me flex.
I got Riz.
That's right. That's right. No cap.
Well, that's timely, gentlemen, because we're going to be having a quiz on teen slang tonight. Jeez. And we'll see what your Riz is. And then the last one, just to wrap up Maycember, this is from Not Today, Eric. Welcome to adulthood. Being tired and being awake are the same exact things. It's so true.
So true. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
Well, I told you my worst time of day, my doctor confirmed this, not that it's the worst time of day for me, but I said I'm really done between like 3 and 5. That is my hardest 2-hour segment.
Yeah.
She told me that typically blood sugar is lowest from 3 to 5.
That is and a medical reason.
A lot of adults feel that. And then I hate the long days, so like I feel like, man, it's not going to get dark till 8, and I'm just stuck in limbo right now.
I just feel like after you're 40, you're just constantly, your battery charger's broken, and you can never get to the 100% charge.
Up. Yeah,
you're always at the 80% charge, always in the red. And then the Frank Thomas testosterone. You're like, hey, do I not have enough? I need some of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, George Foreman grill.
Do I need that? No, but really, we need something. I feel like I'm really tired all the time.
Well, that's why they invented Red Bull.
Ooh, no.
No, we're not endorsing energy
sugar-free
drinks.
Rock star.
Prime.
No, thanks.
No, thank you. No. Yeah, that's another long story. But all right, so that was our tweets of the week. Coming up next, smart articles by a few smart people.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. We will get through this efficiently because these are longer articles. But the trail goes... Mark, I recommended a podcast to Mark. He started listening. He had heard of this person, Mel Robbins, and I had seen her and heard her, seen little video clips here and there, but I really started hunkering in on her pods, which are really good. They're very helpful. She interviews experts, but also she's very relatable and cool, whatever. And she's got kids, which is a bonus when she talks about the parenting stuff. So she has a great episode called Never Enough, 7 Ways to Protect Yourself and Your Kids from Toxic Pressure. So, you know, it's always a headline grabber when you see 7 tips or 4 tips or 3 tips. You're like, well, I'm in. So I listened to it. It's a very, very, very good podcast. But what drove me a little further down our line is when I Googled the guest, who is Jennifer Breheny Wallace. She has this fantastic book, and they started to talk about the book. And then there's like 20, 30 articles all around these topics and this topic and a bunch because her book's very sought after. So, and then that led me to another article by Jenny Anderson. So I'm just going to give you the backstory sources, and we'll put these links up on our pages to the podcast as well. Just so if you're ever interested or you want to look at these, they're always there for you. But I did find it super interesting, and I kind of was softballing it earlier, like toxic parenting, toxic this, toxic that. And, you know, we always say we're not perfect, and we're trying to figure all this out as we go along. So I thought I'd roll it out. There's one article that kind of has tips and ways to kind of start figuring out how to raise healthier children, mentally anyway, and full children. And then the other one's more of an explanation of why achievement culture has become so toxic. So let me, as I do, I'll start off reading, and then we can kind of chime in and see what you guys think or where you're at. Oh, the book is called Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. And she's an award-winning journalist, I might add. Every fall, many teens begin, now this is a lot of teenagers, but you can also dial back into elementary school, you know, stickers on your car, academics, all that stuff. Every fall, many teens beginning their senior year of high school embark upon the fraught ritual of submitting their college applications. When Jennifer Wallace set out to write about the perils of achievement culture, she knew things were bad. Mental health data showed clearly that the young people were suffering even before COVID. Being out of school, isolated, and losing loved ones exacerbated was already a bleak picture. But Wallace found the problem to be even more pervasive than she anticipated. Her student research found that more than 70% of young adults thought their parents valued and appreciated them more when they were successful in work and school. More than half said their parents loved them more when they were successful, and a staggering 1 in 4 believed that achievement, not who they were as people, is what mattered most to parents. So... where do you stand on that other than you're snickering because your jacket is rubbing all over?
Is my jacket moving?
Listen, he's wearing this gigantic fisherman's
jacket, I got.
Jacket that he saw in Deadliest Catch.
It's the Morton's fisherman coat.
So she introduced a new term, not a new term, but a term to me that I'd never thought about this way, but she calls it mattering, and mattering really matters. Researchers and educators know about the importance of belonging or feeling like we're part of a larger group that values, respects, and cares for us. But mattering goes deeper. Mattering is mutual and creates a virtuous spiral. When we feel valued, we tend to value others. Just give me a flat line of where you guys are at with this, what you think. Chris, you're kind of a tiger dad, but I never hear you complaining. Is that because your girls are naturally good at academics and sports and things like that? Or do you feel like you're driven to have them excel?
We're definitely driven to have them excel. Like as the...
But you've said this for a long time. Yeah, this is nothing new.
I would say, like, if we're all the archetypes, I'm definitely the tiger dad and always been sort of like a proponent of that. Because in this case, too, like, I was laughing earlier because the article was saying that a lot of the kids felt like their value and their love was determined by how successful they were. And that they felt this pressure to, you know, like get good grades or be successful for my parents to love me. And if I weren't going to succeed, that they would love me less. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess, you know, that's toxic and that's what the point of the article is. But I also feel like that's kind of, I mean, not that that's true, but it's almost like, I don't know. It's almost like that's sort of like it's the unspoken like truth, or like, I don't know. Again, not that I would value my kids any less dependent on what they do, but like, you know, I do feel like I've always felt that way, that there is a pressure to kind of succeed because, you know, it's something that you're supposed to do. And if you don't do, you're going to disappoint your parents. It's disappointing my parents and having my kids think that I'm disappointed has always been a kind of an underlying theme and a thread in our parenting style. And that guilt has kind of always been, you know.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because these articles also shed light on the parent side of things. I'll just read it from here. But the preparation for this often distressing rite of passage starts long before teenager years. Throughout childhood, children and their parents soak up a sense of pressure from American culture that they must be constantly focused on academic achievement and long-term professional success in a world with few opportunities. With this mindset, many children grow up to measure their self-worth with their number of accomplishments in school or school accolades from extracurricular activities. So it's just interesting. Mark, you've been quiet.
I think we spend so much time working with, I spend so much time working with my kids on whatever it is they're doing, whether it's schoolwork or sports or whatever area they're interested in. So, yeah, I mean, I think that we all are trying to help them perfect themselves, but also not getting the good grade or not doing well in this sport or things like that kind of reflects back on, well, I'm spending all this time trying to get you to this point. But when I was reading the article, I got hit in my heart hard about, like, yeah, you know, I mean, people just want to know they matter, whether they're adults or children or whoever they are. They want to know that regardless of their achievement, regardless of their accolades, be them large or few, that they matter as a person. So, like, it's interesting to parent and to try hard to help your kids to be the best they can be, and also somehow look at them as if a failure still makes, I mean, they matter regardless of success or failure, but it's a weird dichotomy, and it's a weird thing to think through as you're trying to, like, raise your kids to be.
Yeah, for sure.
So
to Chris's side, yeah. You get it. It's kind of an underlying parent theme. We see extreme examples in our environments, right? We do see those people, and then we are landing somewhere on that spectrum. So that's why the article kind of hits home. I always try to pin it on somebody personally that I know because it gives it more reality to me.
Puts a face to it.
Yeah, totally. And I've seen it all. You know, we have a bunch of kids, and we've seen a bunch of grades, and now we're all launching into college. So, and, you know, I grew up in a highly competitive Northeast as well, where brothers and sisters and, you know, it was about getting into the Ivies or secondary or in the nice liberal arts schools and all that stuff. But let's dial back to Mark talking about mattering, because I didn't really fully immerse myself in this either. I never thought about it. But This is what they say. Mattering, knowing that you matter to others and that you can add meaningful value to the world, is a story we tell ourselves about how much we are valued by those around us. Decades of research find that mattering expresses the deep human need we all have to feel to be seen, cared for, and understood by those around us. Mattering occurs in life's big moments, like being celebrated with heartfelt toasts by people who know you. It's found in everyday moments, too, like when you're sick and a friend brings over a pot of homemade soup. The feeling hits you when you open the door is mattering. But today, we're facing a mattering deficit with record rates of loneliness, anxiety, depression among our country's youth. Research suggests that as many as one-third of adolescents do not believe they matter to others in their communities. We don't feel like we matter. We can turn inward. So that's very interesting. I mean, they go to the extreme end. We give up, drink, or use drugs to escape and self-harm. Lack of mattering studies. A big predictor of mental health. So, you know, it was eye-opening. But I do think that we talk about a lot because, and sure, Winter would have the chime-ins here, like, you know, helping others, community, involving yourself in other things beyond the scope of extracurriculars and academics all helps, right?
It's when, just though that it's so competitive, especially, you know, I think living here, I think the two things that I took away the most was just that, one, there's this fear, and the reason why I think I push my kids so hard is just that, man, it's tough to live here, and I wonder how they're going to be able to
afford a home,
right? And raise a family.
And the keeping up with the Joneses.
If you want to keep up with the Joneses, yeah, totally. You got to kind of like succeed to some extent and find your niche in life a little bit. And then the other thing too was the point of the article that I really resonated was just that there's almost like this competition. It's this unspoken parenting competition where your kid's success is a reflection of how good of a parent you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that drives you to push your kids so much just so that, again, you could live vicariously through them or use them as like a measure of your success again. And that, again, is another factor.
I think that's what I have issue with.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing that Mel said on her podcast is about, you know, she lives in Vermont, and when she was getting her, I think it was her son, ready to go to college and applying for colleges, like there was nobody in town that was putting pressure on her. And it's amazing because we just had at my son's school, like the National Commit Day, and like all of the seniors.
Right, right.
And his high school is a college prep school, and I think they boast like 99.9% of the kids
college placement
are all college bound. And so it was kind of a big deal, but it's a huge deal. But to your point, it's like keeping up with the Joneses is something that sometimes is misplaced because your child might not be in that.
See, I don't have any benchmark for this because I grew up, I had nauseam. I grew up with a single mother who worked all the time. I was on my own to get grades. I was on my own to do this, to do that. And I got the most flattering letter from my uncle, who was very successful in the public relations world. And he just wrote me a simple card one time. And he's like, I've always admired you because you're someone that's always done what he's wanted to do. So do you think there's a place for that is what I'm saying in this conversation. Like, because we preach always, just follow the canoe. And the path may not be college. The path may not be, extensions of school. It may be performing. It may be trades. It may be, you know, any myriad of activity. Because we are losing craftsmen out there, you know, by the boatload. We're not going to have any plumbers in 20 years. We're not going to have any, you know, heating and air maintenance people if these trends continue.
I think it takes a really special parent to be able to look past what their hopes and dreams were and focus on the hopes and dreams of their child, and then try and understand that the path that they want to take might not be the path you would choose for them. However, as long as it keeps them fed and clothed and progressing in life or whatever their life desire is, it's like that's the hard part about all of this is that you want your kid to be successful, more successful than you or as successful.
I do wish for that, certainly, right? I do wish that my... my girl will roll in a brand new BMW someday with a degree and live in a cool apartment in Denver. I'm just randomly throwing stuff out. But like, you know, as a parent, I want her to have comfort.
Yeah.
And I want her to have security, safety, you know, all the stuff that parents wish for. So, yeah, this is like, it's a many pronged conversation. But I did think it was interesting that it did fall along the lines. And, you know, she gave, I don't know if she gave 7 tips, but she definitely gave out some tips throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. This is more black and white. I'll just read what's on the page. And according to experts and educators, here are some tips that can help you if you're trying to figure this out on your own. And again, we're not judging. We're just trying to drink in as much information as we can. We just happen to talk about it on a podcast every week. Here's what makes the biggest differences according to experts and educated. Number one, focus on relationships with your child and not just academic sports, not just academic sports and extracurricular outcomes. A mind-bending amount of research shows that the best predictor of life satisfaction is related to the quality of relationships we have. From Harvard's famous Grant study to loads of psychological research, we can say without reservation that encouraging teens to build strong friendships and good relationships with teachers, mentors, coaches, and family is time well spent. Acknowledge when your child is a good friend, celebrate when they help others, and model the importance of taking care of yourself and caring for your family and community. Notice when people are kind and think up ways together to build and strengthen relationships, from thank you cards for teachers who make a difference to brownies for the parent who always ends up with the extra school drop-off shift, human relationship has the power to relieve stress, promote resilience, and restore a young person's sense of safety. So that was a good one right there. Number two, put a lid on endless talk about grades. If your kids stayed up late night studying for an exam, it always seems natural to lead with, how did the math test go? But our endless inquiries about grades sends a signal that performance is what we care about most. Wallace suggests leading with lunch, meaning you ask your child what you ate for lunch before it asking about academics. How do you feel about your performance? Is there anything I can do to support you? Do you understand the material? You know, different sides of questions. Sure. I think that we're in a space where number three is pretty natural because my kids have to do community work. They have to do volunteerism. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the norm across the country. Encourage volunteering and service as well as activism. So that's number three. Again, these are all tips from the Nord Anglia Education site. It's on a thing called Insights. William Damon, author of The Path of Purpose, How Young People Find Their Calling in Life, and director of Stanford Center on Adolescence, defines purpose as a stable and generalized intention to accomplish something that is at the same time meaningful to the self and consequential for the world beyond self. All right, so that's number three. Number four, focus on interests, not just purpose, which is interesting, right? I mean... It's interesting.
Especially at this age.
I had to turn the lens in on this one.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Chris?
No, I was saying, especially at a younger age, I think, you know, purpose is something that you eventually figure out. But right now it's like, you know, like anything that you're interested in.
Yeah, we've said this a lot on the show, right? Yeah. You know, if your kid's into anime and is drawing and that's what they love.
Yeah.
Why not give it a go?
Give it lean in. Because the purpose comes eventually. You know what I mean? You got the rest of your life, but you're not going to be drawing anime all the time.
You say that to the anime drawers of the
Except
world.
For that guy.
Especially in your craft. But, you know, insert randomness here that we don't think is as important from our era. And then you're like, oh, he's really into that. That can be a career if you really think about it. Because the paradigm's shifting all the time, right? And the careers, you see some alarming stuff now with AI.
Yeah.
That AI is going to eliminate X jobs. And if you're not working in AI getting out of the gates, that you're going to be at a disadvantage.
I saw an AI plumber video. This AI plumber robot, to your point earlier about in the future.
Oh, you know, no.
It's going to be
crazy.
It's
happening. Okay, focus on interest, not just purpose. The goal of adolescence is not to find a career, but to build an identity. It requires some trial and error, like we just said, and some experimentation. Damon's research at Stanford finds that only 1 in 5 young people have a deep and guiding purpose right now. Most of us don't find satisfying until we're into our 20s and 30s. And then some of us don't even have a singular focus at any point in our lives. The expectation that we should have a single purpose can itself hound us with anxiety and self-doubt, Harvard's Weisbord writes. Encourage kids to pursue their interest over their purpose and explain that purpose is not necessarily knowing what you want to do when you grow up, but finding meaningful ways to direct the energy. Make sure it's their interest and not yours. Number 5, take a good look at your values and then be explicit about them. It's kind of the parenting mimicry. What do you spend your time and money on? That's a good way to get a handle on your values. While suggesting values inventory, there's a link here. I looked into the actual survey. It's pretty interesting. But take a look at your values and be explicit about them. 6, see them for who they are and not who you want them to be. And I want to add a sound
effect. I saw you reaching there for the for the board.
Well, like we just said, the world's changed dramatically since parents were kids, and sometimes we fail to listen to what's important to our kids and what and who they want to be. Christina Cortez from Colegio Menor Quito encourages us to be curious and open. It's trying to look at your kids through the lens of, I want to discover your passions and who you are without using my own glasses and my own desires and my own hopes and wishes.
Mm. Yeah.
And it is tough, right? Because I'm not going to say even because I screw up all the time. But in my head, I'm like, I hope you go to a big university and we can visit you on weekends. And, you know, and that's the way we have conversations. Like, wouldn't it be fun if it was the fall at this school and we came in? Anyway, it's kind of like those things. But it's interesting because that's what I want. That's not necessarily what they're going to want when they get there or if they want to do that at all.
It's okay to want that too for as a parent though. Like that's the thing is like if we go so far where we're afraid to say that, hey, cause you know, there's a crossfading happening from when they're really young where you're making all of their decisions and planning everything for them till they're at that college point and they're making their choices and the article where they don't even, you're not even reading their college essay stuff where they're in control. And so I feel like, I don't know, like you have to kind of learn to let go and learn to kind of let them make their choices.
Oh, for
but it's
sure.
hard to do because you're so used to making all those choices for them. And
that was part of the process with my son choosing the college he was going to.
Even at 18, you're like, dude, you don't know anything.
You know what, though? All I tried to do was ask a lot of questions and try and make sure that eyes were wide open. And then decisions were made based on, I thought, good data and sound judgment. But the thing is that, you know, everybody's decision is personal and I don't have to live at that college or be in that space, you know? And so there comes a point where you have to kind of like the training wheels are off and you have to hope that you've guided them to a point where when they do that launch, that it's in the right trajectory in the right location.
You made the right calculations.
Totally right.
Well, you know, life for a child is far more complex than it was when you and I were growing up.
And how?
Right? There are far more questions children can ask themselves about their own identity and their own understanding of themselves and how they matter to themselves and how they might matter to others. We need to be open to those conversations. I think parents can be more open to discussing that and also supporting their children by giving them wider opportunities that allow to participate, contribute to a wider world.
Yeah.
All right. The final is common sense, but it's not. Put the smartphone down. Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. French philosopher Simon Weil wrote in 1949. Long before pings and dings and millions of notifications battled for our brain spotlight every day, kids know when we are paying attention and when we are not. There's so many things that are drawing a parent's attention away from the important job of being a parent. Refocusing on the child is so, so important. And if we were to ask them to moderate their use of a smartphone, shouldn't we do the same?
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten better, but I'm not great. I feel like I can always improve in that area. I feel like adults are just as addicted as kids. And if you want to slow down, you have to lead by example and parenting overall. Good talk, everybody. Good talk.
Good talk.
No comments from the peanut crew. What it all comes down to, apparently you're failing at this and you won't admit it, or you're succeeding at it and you won't admit it. The best part about mattering is that parents can influence it. We can show in a million small ways how much our kids matter to us apart from their status, school, GPA, or college or university they get into. We can be their safe harbor or just another place to feel pressure. It's your choice. Mattering and making a true commitment that I will not let one child in my school fail to fulfill their dreams because they matter, says Cortez. Nobody wants to end up being a mess. Nobody wants to end up being a failure. And that's why schools and adults and everybody else needs to understand we have a mission to make those kids' lives develop in the way they want them to. All right. Good information. Good article. Thanks for your honesty. As usual, Chris. Mark just clammed up over there for half the talk. All right, coming up next, maybe Mark will participate.
Oh, man.
That was awfully wordy.
Oh, it's slang terms coming up next.
Uh-oh.
It's quiz time! Palette quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for... It's from dictionary.com.
Yay.
What's Mark, that? I enjoyed your participation, Mark. I just love to give you a hard time.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so this is, well, there's only seven, right? Because I feel like we've boiled the ocean in that last segment. So let's just, we'll take the quiz, we'll see how you do, and then we'll share some from, I think it's like Teen Magazine or something. We'll share other terms that if you see or hear, you'll know it's up.
Nice.
My kids are... Oh, it's so hard to figure out these days. True or false, the nonsensical word skibbity was popularized by a YouTube series featuring sentient toilets.
I think that's true.
I think it's true.
I've never seen it, but that toilet one is true.
It is true. It is true. Skibbity toilet skibbity was the toilet. Original term. Yeah. Yes, and now skibbity has worked his way on its own.
All right.
To my son will actually walk around and just go, skibbity, skibbity, skibbity.
What does it mean?
It's a fun word to say.
No, but what does it mean?
It was just, he showed me the video once of this, like, I don't even know, like a Sims type of character in toilets, and it was just a little 30-second viral clip, and then it was viral. And
well, it's amazing.
But what does it mean?
The origin.
Should we call him out?
It's just a fun word to say, skibbity.
Okay, all right, but
skibbity.
All right, the slang of stenographer is used to negatively refer to a journalist, a politician, or a TV writer. So if a kid says, they're just a stenographer.
That's very, that seems very esoteric. Either of the, like what? A TV journalist? Well, why would a kid say that?
Yeah. The right answer is journalist.
Yeah, really?
I was gonna say journalist.
You're a stenographer, so you're a TV journalist?
But a stenographer is somebody that works
journalist.
In a courtroom.
I know, but who's going to say that? You're a journalist.
You're missing the point. It's slang. So if like you read an article and be like, oh, that dude that wrote that's just a stenographer, meaning they're just copying what they see from other people.
Oh, okay.
It's like people that watch the news, and it's not really their point of view.
You're saying
they just regurgitate what's on the news.
Got it. Okay.
I had to explain that to you.
It's a courtroom term.
That doesn't even make
sense.
Well,
it was in your era.
Well, right. Yeah.
Back when I Love Lucy was the number one show.
Would they even know what that is? They don't even think kids today. If you're like, what's a stenographer?
Desi Arnaz Jr.
I don't know. Remember the little machine that they use too? That's
course stenographers? They're still real, right?
Yeah, I know, but they use that thing that's not a real typewriter.
Right. It's like shorthand.
It's got some funny name, like
whatever. Stenographer.
All right. Question three. We digress. Ice cream so good.
Yes.
Is a catchphrase of TikTok streamer Pinky Doll, who acts like a robotic video game character known as an blank in her videos.
What? That's two questions in one.
I actually know who this is. I've seen the TikTok.
Pinky Dog? True, I'm going to say.
Pinky Doll acts like a robotic video game character known as a blank in her videos. Enemy bot, auto character, or NPC?
NPC.
Fine. The other one, the bot. I don't care. Whatever. This is.
It's an NPC.
Okay, great.
Come on, man.
Do you know what NPC stands for?
Like the NPC 5000?
You're learning.
The music, the old drum machine?
I believe it's non-playing character.
It is non-playing character.
So it's a character that's just in a scene, like a movie extra. It's not really on the main scene. They're just wandering around in the background.
Yeah, they're NPCs, man.
This is slang of 2024,
Chris.
Come on,
bro. You know what? Get with it.
You know, go home and drop NPC on your sister, on your daughter.
I won't. That's cringe.
Fair enough.
All right, the slang word delulu is based on what word?
Delusional.
Deloth. Trading company? I don't know. What?
You don't know this one either?
Delusional?
Mark and I are way hipper delusional. Than you
tonight. Yeah. Delulu.
Yeah.
Dude, you're Delulu.
You're Delulu.
You are.
You are right now. You should
I
know
like
all
Desi
these.
Lou. That's, ooh, I love
that's
Lucy's,
too old.
Okay, so the right answer is delusional. True or false, the slang let them cook means to allow someone to something without holding them back.
Yes, true. Do your thing.
Oh, you're coming. You're coming back in the quiz.
Okay, yeah, that one made sense. These are written funny. That's why
I'm reading from dictionary.com.
Yeah, these guys don't
it's
know.
An authority, Chris.
All right. Well, you're correct. Which of the following is a slang phrase that refers to a short delay before a person starts speaking when recording themselves for a video? Is it a boomer delay, Gen X shuffle, millennial pause, or Gen Z shake?
Ooh, I'm going millennial pause.
Gen Z shake. That's like what I get when I use the bathroom, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Geeky. What did I get, crickets? You're going nuts over there on the board.
Millennial pause.
Millennial pause. Boom. Millennial pause. That's funny. Okay,
I
say it.
See, I do it.
Millennial pause.
I hold it out. I'm like, all right, everybody, ready? Ready? And then I squeeze the little thing. Oh, this is easy. The phrase tush push refers to a play from the sport of
football.
Yeah, football. That was
the
easy.
Buffalo Bills.
I didn't even finish with that one. It's the Eagles.
Oh, was it the Eagles?
It was the Bills. Eagles.
Yeah, was it the Eagles?
Yes.
You're right.
Frito.
Philadelphia people.
Frito.
All right. What do you want to know about? I've got a lot of good ones here.
I like them.
That's the good one.
Blank is a term for something that is your very own personal signature style. If you wear a certain kind of something every day, that would be your blank.
My signature style.
Luke. But
my
not Luke. Luke.
My Luke.
That's the. Yeah.
That's my Luke,
like
man.
Like this fisherman's jacket
fisherman's
is your
jacket.
Luke.
That's my Luke.
Oh. You
know yeah. I think we know lit or goat. Yes. Yeah,
goat.
Yeah, we know lit or goat.
Lit or goat, yeah.
I like this saying because this is what my wife and I say if we find ourselves ever talking about
your
a meeting after the meeting.
Your wife and
we're like, we can't let that meeting live rent free in this house.
Oh, right. Like in your brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Live rent free. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of sports people use that terminology. Like you get an athlete's head.
Yeah.
Don't like, he's living rent free in his head tonight. Free. He only had 18 points.
That's right.
I hear this one in my house a lot, low key.
Mm.
You know? Yes,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, keep it on the down low.
And also low key.
Low key.
No, Mark.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
No, low key.
That's the boomer version. When your teen wants to express a feeling or desire without coming on too strong,
it's low key.
She may add the adjective to low key or low key to help downplay it.
Right. That's like down low, low key. Same thing. It's a down.
I don't know.
Chill out, boomer.
I hope you're talking to him.
I'm an Xer. All right. No cap.
We know this one.
Yeah, of course we know no cap.
What is it?
Don't lie. Ain't no lie, right?
Being real, authentic, and truthful.
Yeah.
Cap,
not gonna lie.
Cap or no cap.
If I were a dictionary person.
OOTD. OOTD. OOTD.
OOTD.
OOTD.
OOTD.
OOTD. Out the door.
Hashtag OOTD. Close. Close, Mark.
Out of the door.
Outfit of the day.
Outfit of the day?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Out of pocket?
Yeah.
What?
Can't be dealt with right now. I'm out of pocket.
Oh, good one. Mark comes in. Mark comes back strong. Salty?
Oh, man. Why are you acting all salty?
I use salty. Yeah, yeah. Savage? I use savage. Mm. Sheesh. Yeah. Sheesh. I got that one. Sip tea?
No
sip
idea.
Tea?
Okay.
Phrase when you're just sitting back and listening to the gossip as opposed to participating in it.
Sip tea.
If you're spilling the tea.
It's like eating popcorn.
You're telling the gossip. If you're sipping the tea,
I just listen.
You are not.
Yeah, you're just eating popcorn.
Situationship? When a relationship is more than friends but less than a couple.
Yep.
It might be a situationship.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slay. They use that term all the time in their little shows. Stan, we know. All right, that's going to wrap it up.
That was more than seven.
Well, no, I was just giving you an extended tutorial of modern-day teen slang. All right, coming up next, finally, things that make us smile. All right, it's time for things that make us smile. This is where we go around the room, just express a little gratitude.
All right.
I'm smiling for many things. So the fog came in tonight, so it's nice beautiful. To dress cozy nice on these fog nights.
I'm warm.
Let me see. I have stuff jotted down here. Being alive.
That's always good.
That's a good one. I'm happy currently to say every day. Yeah. I have a new routine. Makes me very happy. My early morning walks.
Oh,
I get up before I even do anything. Really, I get up and I just walk.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And there's benefits to that.
Of course, there are.
Got that on good the podcast. Job. You know, I love watching my kids do all the stuff they love based on our episodes. I do, though, like, it's just so magical to see your kids performing whatever capacity. And they're just really enjoying that. And then you're watching that come off, right? So that's always fun. Quite busy, too. We had, like 13 shows in 3 weeks. It was silly. But it's comparable to a sports schedule or, you know, travel ball schedule, whatever. My wife always makes me happy. Our insane dogs. And all the flowers coming bloom here in May out in California, finally.
Real pretty.
It's gorgeous. And then I love vinyl. Vinyl makes me smile currently. I'm ramping up my collection again. I love hitting yard sales, rummage church sales.
It's looking good back there.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah. We're going to have a store before we know it. I've discussed this. We're going to do a pop-up. So when I get my pop-ups going. All right. Anyway, enough about me. Ask me something about me.
Ask you something about you?
Oh, my gosh. You're so skibbity. Just go. Skibbity. What makes you smile?
Today's my daughter's birthday, 19th birthday. So it's the first birthday that we're not celebrating at home at the sushi boat at our normal restaurant. So kind of sad, but happy. But she got accepted to her volunteer program at UCLA Med Center. So
wow, that's
very
great.
Happy about that.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes me smile. You know, I'm just basking in my children's success. I had nothing to do with it.
Boy, how apropos.
I paid for it, though, you know, paid for her.
No, I hear you.
But yeah, and then, again, teaching my youngest daughter to drive. So
I can't drive.
So fun.
55. Mark, you're pondering.
Driving is a unique thing.
So fun.
I'm still working on my son's driving capabilities. My birthday was fun. I had a good time with
happy
my family,
birthday.
And then
happy birthday.
And then we went out following evening. My wife took me out to dinner with some other folks, and we had a good dinner in San Francisco.
Was it jolly?
It was very jolly, yeah. We went and had yummy foods and a good time, and Mother's Day was nice, and it's always good to see my mom and send her love and, you know, wish all the moms happy Mother's Day. So, and May-cember's hopefully almost over. Looking forward to mid-June when we're in the full swing of summer schedules, which I'm okay with that. So,
yeah, it'll be a nice break until it's not a break. Until we're all talking about God, I wish they'd go back to school.
Right.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you guys for being here tonight. Benjamin, wherever you're at, we hope you're having a nice night.
Latvia.
He might be in Latvia, Costa Rica.
Could be.
I was helping a buddy build a house in Coral Gables, Florida.
Big Sur.
And then Big Sur. You know, we made our way up to San Luis Obispo and rode some cows.
Rode some cows.
Have a great week, everybody. We're the Dad Time Out Show. Peace. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.